Okay, so let's start. Thank you very much for staying for the last session of the day in the Python Dev Room. So we are now going to have Jérôme Poisson, who's a free software developer, and he's working on a web front end for an XMPP client using Brython. So give him a warm welcome.
Hello everybody, my name is Jérôme Poisson, I'm also known as Gofi on the internet, so I'm the lead developer of the Libervia project. And in this talk I will explain how I'm using Briton to do the web interface and why I'm doing that. So if you work on Libervia, it's a universal communication ecosystem. Its goal is to be the all in one place to do everything like chat, blog, audio video calls, etc. There is gateway to other protocol. I'm working on XMPP to Activity Pub Gateway. I made a talk about that yesterday. It supports end-to-end encryption, but not in the web front-end at the moment. That's one of the reason why I want to use Python in the web. And so, yeah, it's multi-front-end, so you have a desktop, a command line interface, text interface, and even an experimental Android interface made with Kivy. So, why using Python in the browser? First, there is no context switching. In my case, several front-ends are made in Python. The backend is made in Python, and it's enjoyable not to have to switch to another language, another way of thinking, other way to look for documentation, etc., etc., when I'm working on the web development. I'm always staying in Python and feeling at home. Python is famous for being a highly readable language, so it's easier to maintain, so the goal is to make something quick to do new feature and easy to maintain. There is a code reusability. Thanks to Briton, I can use code from other front-end or for back-end, actually. The thing why I want to use code from back-end is for end-to-end encryption. I will explain that later. And also, it's a stable ecosystem. JavaScript is infamous for having every X months a new shiny framework that everybody wants to move to, and you have to learn everything from scratch again. So yeah, that's and the JavaScript stack is quite complicated due to that. I think it starts to be a bit better for a few years with React and Vue.js, but still, it's a reputation of JavaScript. So just to give you a rough idea, this is a screenshot of the chat feature of the Libervia web frontend. So there are a lot of dynamic stuff here which are managed by Briton. So there is reaction when you can add a smiley, you can like. When you have a new message, of course, it will appear below. If you put a message, the input will grow, and you can send file, you can drag and drop file and everything, and all of that is done with Briton. A few words of why Briton have been chosen and not alternatives. So a few years ago, I was using Pyjama, which was a port of Google Web Toolkit to Python. So it was doing compilation ahead of time, so you had JavaScript, which was kind of heavy. It was, and you were doing the development in a similar way as desktop development. That was seducing at the time because I was doing a lot of desktop development, but at the end it's proved to be a bad idea because we were far away from the HTML stack, so to HTML, to CSS, and it was becoming complicated to maintain and adapt things. And anyway, it was supporting only Python 2, and there was no real plan to move to Python 3, and the project is dead due also to sad argument inside the community. Transcript quickly is another transpiler from Python to JavaScript. It's lightweight, it's working. It seems that it's working well, it's performant, but by design it's made to use JavaScript module and not Python, which is a showstopper in our case. PyoDid is a port of CPython to WebAssembly with mscripten. It's fully compatible because it's a real CPython which has been ported. But the thing is, it's quite kind of EV, but it supports numerous packages. Also, it's not really well adapted to work with the DOM and the web stack. But it's really good project if you want to work with a scientific stack on the web. PyScript is new kid in town. The decision to use Briton has been made before PyScript was even start, or even known at least. It's a kind of framework around things like PyOD to make it more easy to use and more integrated with the web stack. You can use either PyOD, but you will have full Python compatibility, but it will be heavy. Or you can use micro Python, which is lightweight, but it's Python, but not fully compatible with Python, which is also a showstopper in our case. But anyway, it's a really interesting project, and it's nice to keep an eye on this one. Other project, like Cult, was not supporting Python 3, so it was dead, and PyPy.js is not maintained anymore anyway, so it was discarded. So here's come Briton. Briton is a Python implementation in JavaScript. It transpiles Python to JavaScript, but in the browser. That means that you can do Python in the browser. You can have a Python console in the browser. But the transpilation at some time, but its cache is in cache for the first time, is going in the browser web storage. That means that the next time you use it, it will be quick. There is a compatibility layer. You are using JavaScript object, but with a compatibility layer, so the object acts the same way as the Python object work. Its aim is to be real Python, and it's really good compatibility. If something is not working, it happens to me a couple of times, we can just open a ticket. That's another point about Briton, the community, and the lead developer is really nice, welcoming, and reactive. So each time I had a problem, it was fixed quickly and in a nice way. Most of the standard lib is available, either by direct transpilation of the CPython version or by re-implementation. On the documentation, you can see what is available, what is not. And it's really well integrated with JavaScript. You can use JavaScript module as well as the Python module, and from JavaScript, you can call a code from Briton. So yeah, it was really a good fit in our case. And prove that it's real Python, you can check on Briton.info, there is a console, you can do import anti-gravity, and then you can fly. So all the front-end is working. So basically, in blue on the top, you have a backend, which is doing all the work, like all the XMPP stuff, the profile management, the caching, etc. And then you have the various frontends, and the web frontend is a bit special because it's split in two. There's a HTTP server, which is done with Twisted, and you have the browser part, which is done so with Briton. So there is a static part and a dynamic part, which is done with Briton, and it's communicating by WebSocket between them, and then the HTTP server communicates with the backend with IPC, which is usually DBus. And one of the points Briton must be used in the web frontend. It's because end-to-end encryption is done fully in backend. So for this frontend, which work on the same device, it's fine. But because on the web frontend, it's usually distant user, you need to do the work for end-to-end encryption again in the browser. So my long-term goal is to use the code from the backend to be able to do the end-to-end encryption and decryption directly in the browser and to make real end-to-end encryption with this front-end. So the goal of the web front-end is to have progressive enhancements. By default, if you don't have JavaScript, you have a static patch for most of features, notably blog. For highly dynamic feature like the chat, of course, you need to be fully dynamic. So in this case, you need a JavaScript enabled. It's made to be easy to develop and to maintain and to reuse the code as much as possible from other frontends. An important part of this frontend is the templating system. I wanted to have templates which work at the same time in the backend, at the same time in the browser dynamically. So I've chosen to use Jinja 2, which is probably the most famous template engine in Python. And on JavaScript side, I'm using Nunjuk, which is a kind of port of Jinja 2 to JavaScript, which is made by Mozilla. And it's mostly compatible, but some filters and directives are missing. So I do the implementation of the one I was needing in Briton, and it's working. And there is easy teaming, and the fact that I can use the same template in the backend has a side effect that I can use also the template in the CLI. So if, for instance, you want to generate a static website from the same template and the web interface, we can do it easily. So Libervia is organized, each feature organized in what is we call page. Libervia page is basically a directory which corresponds to a URL in the web frontend. So there is no router like you have in Flask. This made to be easy. So one directory, one feature and URL. And in each directory, you can have a page underscore meta .py file, which includes metadata such as the name of the page, is the page public or private, which template to use, and you can also use some Python code if you want to get data from the URL or stuff like that, or handle the post request. And you can have underscore browser directory with Briton part, which is what we will see now. And then when you start the website, hierarchy automatically generated so Briton know where to access the files. So this is a minimal example of the page.meta.py file. So the name is used to be able to access the page from somewhere else. So in this case, it's access profile. That means that you need to be logged to access this page and the template to use. And here comes the Briton code. So that's what is running in the browser. So you see it's real Python. On the top, I'm using the standard lib.json to do the parsing of JSON stuff. In the past, the JSON from standard lib was a bit slow, so I was using directly the JavaScript version. So you can do it, but now it's been fixed and it's really performant, so I'm using directly the standard lib version. The bridge is just a way to communicate with the backend. The browser is important module. Browser is what is used to manage the DOM. So document if you want to access an element. The IO part is a Briton version of async.io. Async.io is not exactly the same as in C Python for reasons which are explained in the doc. And dialogue is just a module to show dialogues. So you see I'm binding the DOM event click to a method. Normally you expect a blocking method, but I want to use async one, so I use IO for that. And then you have the async method. So you see you have the event exactly like in JavaScript. So you can call the method exactly like in JavaScript. Then you have the code, and I'm parsing the data of the item. And I'm showing a dialogue. The feature actually is you have a list for the list feature, and if you want to delete a list, you show a marker around the list, and you confirm that you want to delete or not. And so you see with await, it's really readable and easy to do it. So I can check after if it's confirmed or not, and if it's confirmed, I send the deletion request, or otherwise I just remove the stuff. So this code is doing this. So you just click on the delete, it's showing the dialogue, and here I'm canceling and it's removing the flag. So yeah, it's working like it will do in JavaScript. About debugging. So when something is going wrong, what is really nice with Briton is you have real Python traceback with a line of the source code and everything, so it's really easy to debug. Sometimes, unfortunately, you have JavaScript exception. Usually, in this case, it's better to report to Briton because it means that it's a bug, but it's happening less and less often. You can use breakpoint and PDB, so your code will be blocking in the browser and you will have an alert box where you can use PDB instruction. And there is also an inspector module, which in this case, your code is running normally, but you have a Python console, and you can inspect the local variable that you have where you run the inspector. Regarding performances, according to the doc, I haven't run the benchmark myself, but it's comparable to CPython because JavaScript is probably one of the most optimized engines in the world in Chrome and Firefox. And so it's comparable. Sometimes it's slower, sometimes it's quicker. Of course, it's slower than pure JavaScript because there is a compilation time and the compatibility layer. But compilation is done only once after it's cached. And for compatibility layer, it's working okay. By default, you have a wall standard lib, which is kind of heavy between 4 and 5 megabytes. Normally, you don't want to use that. You can either not use at all, or you have a small tool which will check your source code and which module you are actually using and make something smaller and totally usable. And so the loading time anyway is in cache. So after it has been used at least once, it's quick to load. So from my experience, and I have not yet worked on optimization, it's working absolutely fine, at least for my use case. So now the roadmap. In the future, I want to integrate more Briton, notably in the blogging parts, because I want to do something more like modern social network experience with reaction and everything. So use the code of the backend. As I say, it's really important for end-to-end encryption. I want to be able to get the stuff which are done the way we format the XMPP stanza, etc., and do it in the browser so we have real end-to-end encryption. And I would like to experiment what we can do with the Python in the browser. I'm thinking, I think there are a lot of fields where we can do that. In education, we can imagine a chat where we could have a Python console. It could be used, for instance, to learn Python itself or to do mathematics in a school or these kind of things. For science, of course, it would be super useful. Maybe we can try to use the work done by PyOdit to also try to run some scientific stack. And on automation, and visualize that it could be possible to do filter in Python when you have a chat message and block message and to see if you want to do something on it or not. So Briton, from my experience, is a robust solution for integrating Python into the web development. The community is nice, which is a really important part, and it's allowed to use the same code in the backend and in the frontend, which is really time-saving, and avoid to have people specialize in one language or one another language. So that's it for this talk. You can check Briton on this website. You can check my project on Libervia. I have a blog accessible by XMPP, ActivityPub, or Atom. You have an Atom feed, of course, where I'm talking about the project mainly and the stuff I'm doing with Briton, etc. And you can look for help in the Libervia chat room in XMPP or ping me. This is my other activity per bundle. And thank you for attending, and I hope I give you the test to try Briton and to see what you can do with it. You have a console in the Briton official website, so you can use it right now and just try to play with it and see how it works and what you can do with it. So thank you very much, and if you have any questions.
Any questions? Yes. Oh. One.
How do you set up the web server? You must serve it somehow, the Briton code, and do you have to do some kind of special thing to make the bridge work?
WebSocket is support directly. I'm using JavaScript code directly, and I'm using JSON to work with the bridge also in the backend. So it's native in JavaScript, and with Briton it's easy to access. And WebSocket, it's straightforward, no problem with it. So I send the WebSocket to the HTTP server, which in turn, it's also doing the security stuff, because of course from the browser you can trust it. So it checks if you have right to use this method, etc. And then sending from the IPC. IPC can change, but usually it's dbus that we use between front-end and back-end.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay. And great that you support the XMPP world.
Thank you.
More questions? Other question? No one? Okay, then I guess it's a wrap. So thanks again for the talk.